Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to If My People Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Pastor Ross. It's so good to have you here joining with me today. Today, our message is going to be don't give up. God will come through for you. If you've been in the struggle, if you felt like giving up, if you felt like life just was too hard and it just wasn't worth it, and you just want to give up the calling that God has called you to because you just don't feel like people are receiving what you're saying. You don't see change. You don't see growth. But how many know that it's not in your time? It's all in God's time. So this message is just designed to remind you of the sacrifice that Christ made for us so that you will in turn be willing and able to endure, as Paul said, as the Bible says, hardship as a good soldier. When you put in remembrance all that God has given up for us. Now, if you want to join the show, you can call in at 516-531-9550, or you can tune in at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. That's blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. And we will be back with you. We're going to play a few songs here, get your praise and worship on, get your mind right, because I'm telling you, this word is going to rejuvenate your spirit, cause you to feel like I can run on just a little while longer. We're going to start out with Kurt Carr, Jesus Will Work It Out. Then we're going to listen to some for King and Country, Shoulders and God Only Knows. I'll be back with you after the music break.
We want to go back to the old school for a minute. Hand clapping and toe tapping. We want to visit our friends over in Chicago. Sister Albertina Walker, Inez Andrews, the Baron Sisters, Clay Evans, Mama Hayes, and the Cosmopolitan Church of Blood.
Yeah. Nobody will knows how to kill you, but there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what to say about you. God only knows what to leave you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
Like the Friday sunrise, waiting on the We can't see yet, but we believe that He is moving with the love so deep. Hallelujah for the victory, 'cause He's a coming even when we can't see. We can't see yet, but we believe that it's like the brightest sunrise. Waiting on the other side, on the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope, hold on.
Welcome back. This is Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. This is If My People. Again, you can join in on the show at 516-531-9550, or you can log in online at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. In that set, we had Danny Gokey. You haven't seen it yet. Just hold on. God is going to come through. Before that, we had For King and Country, God Only Knows, and Shoulders. And to begin off the set, we had Kirk Carr, Jesus Will Work It Out. All those songs tie into what our topic is today. Don't give up. God will come through. As I said at the top of the hour when I came on, how many of you have just felt like giving up? You just felt like nothing wasn't working out. You just wanted to throw in the towel. It was just too hard. You're dealing with rejection. You're dealing with past regrets. You're dealing with what you see as failures. And it just feels like progress is not being made. Well, as the singer said in the song, you just haven't seen it yet. God is going to come through. Remember, His promises are yes and amen to the glory of God in us, which means that He has to manifest His word through us. All we need to do is keep going, and as Paul said, persevere. We got to keep pushing, you know, in the hard times, in the good times. You know, we got to fight the battle, endure hardship as a good soldier. I know that's easier said than done. All that sounds good. It's just a bunch of words, Pastor Ross, until you get in the struggle, until you get in the fight. And then what? When it feels like everything is falling down on you, when it's just easier to quit than to keep pushing forward. Anybody with me? Anybody been there? Are you feeling like that right now? Is this in any ways familiar to you? But see, it's in those times when we got to remember the sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. The promises that are on our life. Because if God said it, surely it will come to pass. Isaiah 55:11, so are the words that coming forth from my mouth. They shall not return unto me void, but they shall accomplish what? All that I please, and is going to prosper in the thing what God sent it out to do in you. So we're not going to ever see what God sees in us because we're still wrapped in flesh. And in that flesh is our soulish realm. And in that soulish realm lies all of our emotions. So discouragement is in there. Joy is in there. All of those things are in there. See? So we're going to go through the highs and lows in our life and in our time. It's not going to always be good. His word said, sorrow endureth for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And believe it or not, we decide when joy comes. We decide when our sorrow ends. Even though the situation might not change, our attitude about the situation can and will change. He says, let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly what? Richly dwell in you. And what did Christ say? I must be about what? I must be about my Father's business. Matthew says, if you put my kingdom first and all of its righteousness, everything else will be what? Everything else will be added unto you. Okay, Pastor Ross, again, still, that all sounds good. You know, you got an eloquent soliloquy. But how does that apply to me? How do I live through the hard times? How do I live through the times when I don't have what I need? How do I live through the times when it just seemed like my ministry or my church is not progressing or it's not growing? How do I get past the disappointment, you know, when you keep hearing, oh, you preach too rough or your message is just too hard? How do I get past that? How do I get past feeling like I am a failure? Well, I got an answer for you. I know it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Let's go together to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8. We're going to start at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8. Because we got to know. We got to know who we are. We got to know who we are. We have to know who we are. And we have to know, remember the sacrifice that was made for us in order to be where we are. Because see, this is a salvation that's not, you know, been just purchased with money down, or the sacrifice of goats and lambs and cows and stuff. See? We have to remember that. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And it says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, for in that he put all subjection unto him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So this is telling you where you are. This is telling you that, listen, this man, Christ, I have given him the power over everything. And everything that is in the earth and in the heaven is put in subjection under his feet. Every single thing. He said he left nothing that is not put under him. Amen. Nothing. So in other words, anything that is troubling you, anything that is overwhelming you, it's already been put under the feet of Christ. In other words, it's already been defeated. But we can't see the defeat because everything that was done from the beginning was done in the spirit. See, that's why I said, but now we see not yet all things put under him, because we can't know all things. We haven't been through all things. We only know what we've been through. That's why the Bible says we overcome by the words of our what? Our testimony. It becomes a testimony unto us first and then unto others, because we can say, hey, God brought me through this. But we can't forget the things that he brought us through, because when something else comes upon us, if he brought us through it in the past, is God so small that he can't bring us through it again? See, he said all things were put under him. All things, in other words, are defeated. See, sometimes you just got to remember that, hey, God gave us an all things. Why am I letting this bother me? See? When he says all things, he means all things. He means everything. See? Verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So see, don't die in your circumstances. Don't die in your situations. Why? Jesus already did it. Remember, I just told you everything was put up under his feet. See? So he has already died for us. See? To be in the place that we are. See? That we should overcome. So we don't got to die in the situations. We don't got to be so overwhelmed that we just give up and quit. See, I told you I was going to tell you how. See, so you just have to receive it now, because this is the word. It's coming straight out of the Bible. And by the way, this is the King James Version. If y'all would like another version, I can make it more simpler, but it's still going to be the same thing. See, he suffered all the way to death so that we could overcome, so that we could be empowered. See, so that we should know that every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy shall come to naught. As it says at Isaiah 54 and 17, the weapon might form, but it's not going to prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And the Lord God shall rebuke every lying tongue, even the naysayers, even people coming against you, talking against you, talking about your ministry, talking about God has not called you, talking about what you can't do, that your church is not going to grow. If God said it, then surely it should come to pass. All you have to do is stand on that firm ground, on that solid rock that is the word of God. Build your foundation on that. Bring to remembrance in your prayer. Ask God to bring to remembrance those things that he has spoke about you. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the plans I have for you. I already know what I have planned for your life, to bring you to an expected end, not of harm. No weapon formed against you. What did he tell Joshua? Joshua, be strong and courageous, for lo, I am with you. What? I am with you always. I shall never leave, and what? I shall never forsake you. If God be for you, then guess what? Who can be against you? We got to remember that greater is he that is in us. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than what? Than he that is in the world. See, that Holy Spirit that dwells down on the inside of you, that has placed you in here, in this situation, in this circumstance, for such a time as this. See, he's greater than any circumstance, than any situation that can come up in the world. See, you already have the victory because the price has already been paid. Let's move on to verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He was made perfect through his suffering. But before that, he said it was done, see, to bring many sons to glory. Now, we know that the price for being a son is greater than the price for being a servant. See, so you're going to have to go and you're going to listen. The Bible says, just as they have persecuted me, so too have they persecuted you. Many people think, and many clergy have preached that once you come to Christ, you know, it's all well and good. Your life is just going to be hunky-dory. No, you in a fight now. See, because the enemy had you all those years of your life, and now you want to change up on him. See? You want to change up on him and go and be holy and go and be righteous and go and switch up and go with his enemy. What are you doing? Yes, God is the enemy of Satan, if you didn't know. See? So he's upset because remember, in Isaiah 14, he said, I will rise my throne above. His. See, he wanted to be greater than God. That's why he got thrown out. See? He wasn't just happy being son of the morning. The first thing God saw in the morning, he just wasn't happy being a servant. He wanted to be greater because he didn't want to serve. See? And a lot of times when we're uncomfortable, when we're feeling overwhelmed, or we're feeling like quitting, it's because we are rejecting that which God has called us to do. We no longer want to be a servant. See, we want to be greater. We tired of just being what he called us to be. I ought to have more than this. Whose mindset do you have when you start thinking thoughts like this? As if what God has given you is not good enough for you. Because that was the thoughts of Lucifer. This ain't good enough for me no more. I'm not going to serve, man. You done lost your rabbit mind, God. I'm not finna do that. I'm older than him. I'm made out of better stuff than him. You made him out of the dust of the earth. You made him out of dirt. Stuff I walked on, stuff I ruled over. And now you telling me just because you made him in your image out of the dust of the earth that I'm going to have to bow down to him? Oh, no, I ain't doing that. And sometimes we get that same attitude in ministry. Yeah, we don't know it, but we do. When a change comes, no, that's just too much. I ain't doing that. Now, that's just going to take too much time and too much energy and too much exertion, and I just can't do that. Whose mindset do you have? Where did those thoughts come from? How could you lose your passion just like that? It was okay last week. You didn't have a problem going out and feeding the homeless. But now it's too much. I ain't going to be cooking and serving all them people. I'm not finna do that. I don't want to do that. There's just no way. Why should I have to do that? I've been in ministry this many years, and I ought to be further than what I am now. I still shouldn't have to serve people. But what did Christ do? He says he was obedient all the way unto the death of the cross. When you read about the saints in the Bible, see, even though they went through things, some were martyred for this gospel. But it is not so with us. We are free to speak. We are free to pray, at least in this country. See, we're free to worship. And you mean to tell me that it is so overwhelming for us that we cannot possibly go on and accomplish the things which God has called us to accomplish? That we are so overwhelmed and we are just so far out there, that we just can't do it. When he said all things are possible to them that believe, did you stop believing? Did you stop believing in God, or did you stop believing in yourself? What happened? And if Christ is in you, if you stop believing in yourself, then you lost that belief in God. Because he said, you are one. You're one. Let's go on down in Hebrews, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. See, didn't I just tell you that? You're all one. If Christ is in you, then listen, it is no separation. That's why he said, greater works shall what? Greater works shall you do. Greater works shall you do. See? Greater works. So the same thing that you see me doing here, this is what he told his disciples. The same thing that you see me doing here, guess what? You also are going to be able to do. See? Make no mistake. The exact same thing that you see me doing, you're going to be able to heal the sick. You're going to be able to cast out devils. See? You're going to be able to do the exact same thing. that you see me doing. See? Greater works. And even greater. Because, see, I've only got this little bit of time to teach you, and then I have to go on to the cross. I have to make this ultimate sacrifice for you to be greater. See? Because you are the first of many brothers. So just as I have drawn disciples, so too will you have people who will follow you. Now, everybody not going to get up and come at the first call. No, they're not going to do that. But did Christ stop speaking? Did the disciples stop speaking because they didn't see the manifestation of people following behind them? They kept preaching, and the people heard about them. See? The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. You don't shut up because it doesn't look like it's going to work. You don't stop preaching, or you don't stop teaching, or you don't stop going because it doesn't look like what you think it ought to look like in the time that it should look like. In other words, it's not going as fast as you think it ought to be going. It ain't doing what you think it ought to be doing. See, I don't have the number of souls in my church that I should have, God. I don't understand. I've been doing this for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and I should have about 300-400 people for what God has done for me. Okay. And you have 300-400. And you handle the 5, 6, 10, 12, 20 that you have. If you can't handle them, you're already overwhelmed with them saying they're getting on your nerves. What are you going to do with 300, 400, 500 people? See? Because as the load increases, as the numbers increases, as the members increases, so do the burdens. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. See, because you got that many more people calling you for counseling. You got that many more people calling you for prayer. See? Have you been there? Are you there now? Be careful what you're asking for. Success comes in measure. Remember, the Bible says God is not going to give us more than we could bear. See? So then if we think that this is too overwhelming, if we think that this is too overbearing, then where is that burden coming from? See? Sometimes we charge God foolishly, thinking that, see, God, you done gave me too much. I can't do this. But he said, I can do all things. Through what? Through Christ. You're never going to be able to do it out of your flesh. All of this was done in the spirit. Remember, God thought. See, he thought, and then he spoke, and then it was. See? All of this has all remembered, see? All things were put in subjection under his feet. It was already done. It has already been done. All we got to do is recognize, accept it, and move on it. Remember, James, faith without works is dead. It's going to take some work. Remember, he told Adam, listen, you done messed up, you done disobeyed me, creation done failed. Now you're going to have to feed yourself by the sweat of your brow. So it's going to take some work. It's going to take some going. It's going to take some praying. It's going to take some fasting. It's going to take some enduring. It's going to take a deeper study in the word and a closer relationship with Christ to let you truly understand that, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it out of my own strength. I can't do it out of my own flesh, but it's by your spirit, it's by your Holy Spirit that dwells down on the inside of me, that gives me the unction, that gives me the strength. The same unction, the same Holy Spirit that rises up to help me overcome temptation. See? See? The need to want to quit. The need to want to give up is just the temptation. See? To not go on. The temptation to make you think that maybe, you know, if I give this up, my life will be easier. Things are going back to being the same. But didn't you cry out to come out of that lifestyle? Didn't you cry out to God to not be like that no more? Didn't you cry out to God to be delivered from all of those old sins? Didn't you Say, God, please, if you get me out of this, Lord, I will serve you for the rest of my life. But now times are hard. It's not looking like you think it ought to look. It's not feeling so good anymore, and you want to throw in the towel. But you said, Lord, if you help me, Lord, if you deliver me. See, you cut covenant with God. God has kept his word. Let me say that again. You cut covenant with the Father, with the Heavenly Father, God who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy will, oh, what? Thy will be done in this earthen vessel? Is that what you said? See, so now you have cut covenant with God, and now you want to go back on your word. See? The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and to break it. See? Christ went all the way through on the cross to suffer a shameful death. Because that's what it said. It's a shame, you know, to be crucified. See, that was a shameful way to die. He was placed in the middle of two thieves. Hadn't done any wrong. The only thing he did was preach his Father's word. That was it. That's all he did was preach his Father's word and tell the people about his kingdom. He said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. I came to tell you that you ain't got to keep living in sin. I came to tell you that I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave, that you no longer have to die in your sins, that you can be redeemed back to your place in God. Ain't that what you cried out for? But now that it has been given to you, you want to be like Esau. Find no worth in it. You want to throw it away for a little bit of hunger, for a temporary situation. See, you want to barter with your brother. See, and say, oh, man, you can go on, you can take my ministry, you know, because you can probably do it better than me, but God didn't call him to do it. He called you to do it. Where are you going? See? Esau gave up his birthright for a bowl of red beans and rice, okay? Was it worth it? See? Because he was hungry at the time. He said, I am starving to death. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You could have endured a little bit longer. He said, in your weakness, I will make you strong. He forgot to call on the one who created him. See? But when there's always a struggle in your mind to be greater or have greater and think less of the things of the kingdom because you see the things of the world or the things of the flesh or the natural things as greater, or you put more value than the things of the kingdom, it's always going to be easy to toss aside that which God has entrusted you with. See? Because all you want to do is just get rid of that. No, I don't want to deal with these people no more. But then, because you have been ordained for this, and because you have been called to this, see, you go back to that empty feeling. Remember that empty feeling you had before you found yourself in a relationship with Christ? That lonely feeling you had, feeling like something was missing from your life? Well, now God has fulfilled what's missing. Can you honestly look at yourself? Take a deep down look at yourself and say you feel empty. That you feel like something is missing? Or do you now have all things in common with Christ Jesus? If you take an honest look at yourself, you will see that, no, I don't feel empty anymore. My life is fulfilled. You can look around and you can see the evidence of Christ working in your life. Things that didn't work before are working out now. Even though you're making less money now, all of your bills are still paid. Did that happen for you before? See? sickness and disease, even though they might come upon you, but you are healed. You're not sick as long. They don't overtake you. They're not able to keep you bound anymore. Things that you should have died from, that the doctor says, listen, you're not going to recover from this. I'm sorry. You might as well go ahead and make your last arrangements. You only got 6 months. And here it is, 16, 20 years later. When you look at your life, see, now and before you accepted Christ, is it better now or was it better then? If you be honest with yourself, you see that even though circumstances or situations might not be ideal at the present time, they're better than they were. See? Remember, God said, I will never leave nor forsake you. He said, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. Thy rod and thy staff will comfort you. That in the midst of your enemies, he's preparing a table for you. I know you're tired. I know you're going through. Just have a seat because, see, I'm going to feed you. See, and how does he feed us? He feeds us off his word, see, to strengthen us. See, he gives us a little bit more of his spirit down on the inside of us that we are strengthened. Yeah, sit down and come and sup with me. See, come and sup with me because I'm going to give you what you need to carry on in the journey. See, when Elijah ran from Jezebel, see, and he hid in the cave. See, he came out, he called him, he fed him. And then he said, Elijah, what you doing here? And when Elijah called a famine, Elijah called down the famine himself. See? And there was no food. God took him to a brook. See, he said, the journey is too much for you. Go to this brook and you will have water, and I will cause the ravens to feed you. See? I know you're weak. I know you're weary, but I am going to sustain you through this time. See, his word cannot return unto him void. If we look to him in these times when we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling like we're going to want to give up, he will restore our joy. He will restore our strength. There is no temptation known to man that God cannot overcome. He created you. Did you forget that? You are created in his image. See? See? Did you forget that? And he told you that you can do what? You can do all things through him. So why? Why throw in the towel? Why give up when greater is he that is in you? There's no need. That's not the Spirit of God talking to you. No. That's the enemy speaking defeat. You see, because he knows that if he can get you to quit, if he can get you to stop calling people to salvation, guess what? That's more for him. See? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. We're going to move on. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. You don't belong to your own self. Just as God has entrusted Christ with your soul, so God has entrusted you with those coming behind you. So how are you just going to leave them? How are you going to leave your newborn baby behind? They still got to learn about Christ. And if they don't see you as the example that in times of persecution, in times of hardship, in times when it don't look like you can make it, if they say you've given up, then guess what? They're going to give up on God because their example in the earth is gone. The only example of Christ working in the earth is gone because they should be seeing the Christ in you as their hope of glory. And if you can't endure, then where is their hope? Am I helping somebody? So you can't throw in the towel. You can't give up. You can't say this is just too much because a sacrifice has already been made for you. And you, in turn, got to make the sacrifice for others. You got to lay down your life that others might be saved. Yes, lay down your life. And I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about dying to yourself. I'm not talking about physically dying. What would that be worth? I'm talking about dying to the things that you want, dying to the ways that you think, dying to the way that you see, that you see your life. Because the way you see your life might not be the way that God called your life to be. Remember, from the beginning, you told Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. See, and your plans and God's plans very well may not be the same. See? But we don't think about that. We just think about what we think we are. Oh, God. Oh. You know, ever since I got in this church, things have been going bad. Ever since I turned my life over to you, I've lost this, I've lost that, I've lost family, friends, and loved ones too. Really? Let me ask you a question. Those family and friends and loved ones that you say that you lost, they don't come around no more saying it's because you go to that church. Every time I turn around, you at church. Let me ask you, was it around? Were they talking about you before you came? It's for you. I'm not judging you. Want you to listen to Were they coming around? Were they inviting you over to sign to them after church? Were they edifying your spirit or were they bringing you down? Was everything that you do, was everything that you did good? Or was they always saying, you know, you ought not to be doing that. You ought not to be going to that club every night. Every Friday night, you drinking, you smoking, you doing this. But now that you're in church, every time I turn around, you at that church. Please but you lost family and friends. No. God says, His word says, come out of the midst of it. If they're not edifying you, if they're not building you up, then why are you why continue to have those people who destroy your character? See? Who bring down your self-esteem? Who bring down your value to yourself? I don't care if they are blood clean. What are they doing to edify your body of Christ? Your mind, your spirit. What are they doing to bring you peace? Are they praying for you when you're going through? When you need a loan, when you call them and you say, hey, you know that $50 that I owe you 3 months ago, and I get that back, I really need it. Do they not answer their phone? Stop answering your text. See? They got new stuff. They house full. See? But every time you ask for what is rightfully yours, oh man, I ain't got it. But I'm going to get back to you, though. Until you get to the point that you realize that, okay, they're not anything. So you don't have ill feelings against people. See? They ain't got to give it back. Don't worry about it. God will give you more. See? See? Family, friends, and loved ones too, really? The Bible says come out from the midst of them. God doesn't need anything destroying what He has created in you. That good thing. See? That good thing down on the inside of you that is made in His image, that is destined and purposed to bring someone else through. so they can look at you and they say, man, Pastor Ross, if you made it, if God did it for you, I know good and well he can do it for me. When they hear who you were before Christ entered your life, all the things that you went through, how mean and hateful you were, how deceitful you were, whatever your vice was. See, if he brought you out of alcoholism, if he brought you, you know, out of drug abuse, out of whoredom. See, if he brought you out, then how much so can he not bring the ones behind you out just by the words of your testimony, just by how you live it? No, it ain't good enough just to talk about it. You got to live it. And when things get tough, you can't throw in the towel, because what about the people coming behind you? It doesn't matter the age. No, it don't matter the age. No, age has nothing to do with it. Because, see, some people aren't going to be saved until they see you. Some people aren't going to have a relationship with Christ until they see you overcome. See? They're not going to be able to stay in God until they see you saved. See? Because that which you have overcame is similar to that, the struggles that they're going through right now. And if they don't see somebody else who they know was in the same exact struggle, same similar struggle coming through, then guess what? They're going to, oh, well, God, I messed up too much. God is not even looking at me. And I did too much. No. They have to know that they haven't done too much. See, Paul said that, you know, was no greater sinner than him. He was a murderer. He persecuted and killed Christians. He was the one standing by approving when they stoned Stephen. He was holding the people's coats. But God still used him. So how much more so can he not use those coming behind you? That's the message that we have to let the people know. That is the message that we have to give the people. See? They have to know that. That if he brought you out, he can bring them out as well. In other words, just a message of hope. Just a message that, hey, hang on. God's going to come through for you. He's going to do it. He did it for me. He's going to do it. You mean to tell me that if Christ suffered on the cross for us, that we can be back in right standing with God, that we have the opportunity to come boldly before his throne, to make our petitions known unto him, that we can't stand a little suffering, a little persecution in this earthly realm? We're not dying. Now, in some countries, people who preach this gospel, yeah, they're being beheaded, they're being martyred, but we here are able to live. We're able to live. Sometimes, yes, we're going to have to suffer a little hardship. We're going to have to suffer a little persecution. We're going to have to suffer people lying against us and speaking all manner of evil against us falsely. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to happen. The Bible said it was going to happen, so it's going to happen. But we've got to learn to dust ourselves off, get up and go back out there and stand on what God has called us to do, regardless of what they say. Like he told Joshua, Joshua, make your face like flint. Make your face like flint, regardless of what they say. because I'm with you. And if I'm with you, who is going to be against you? Who is going to be against you? See? We have to get like Isaiah. See? When Isaiah was confronted by the own people, his own people. See? In Isaiah 50:7, he said, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Regardless of what they do, regardless of what comes against me. See, my family, my friends, my co-workers, the people I know, even some of the sisters and brothers in the church, for whatever reason, the enemy, they allow the enemy to speak to their mind and say all manner of evil against me. See? And in verse 8, he goes on to say, he is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. See? Who's gonna contend with me if God is for me? See? It is he who justifies me. I'm not looking for your approval. Sometimes that's the problem. See? We get discouraged when we don't get approval of those who we think are who supposed to love us. We go seeking after man's approval, knowing full well that the Bible says we ought to please God rather than man. See? Let me say that again. We are commanded to please God rather than man. See? Then our hope is not lost. Then our passion for serving him is not lost, because we are ever endeavoring to please our heavenly Father. See? See? We're not looking for the commendation of man. We're not looking for the attaboy or attagirl or a pat on the back from man. See? Because we already know that we are justified in Christ Jesus. We already know that we have his approval. See? Isaiah goes on in Isaiah 50 verse 8. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Verse 9. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they all will grow old like garments, and the moth will eat them up. See? I ain't got to worry about them people, because, see, God is going to take care of them. Let them condemn me. Let them say there's no such thing as a woman pastor. Let them say you ain't been called. God ain't called you. See? Let them say you don't know what you're talking about. Let them say women ought to be silent in the church. See? Let them say whatever they want to say. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? You know God has ordained you. You know what God has called you for. You know that God has sent you. Who else matters? See, you living to please the Lord. You living to please your heavenly Father. Like the one who sacrificed his life for you, Christ Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And in looking at that and in making that your daily precept, your daily purpose, your daily goal, in other words, you don't have to worry about anything anybody else says. It's not going to even buffer you. You're going to be like Isaiah. Hey, let them contend with me, because God is going to fight for me. He's already told me what my expected end is. All I got to do is keep walking, keep talking, keep preaching, keep obeying him. Keeping him first. And all else is going to be added to me. That any temptation, see, anything that tries to get in my way, any distraction, any obstacle, the Lord God has already defeated it. So all I've got to do is keep my eyes on the prize of the mark of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. Why does it say the higher calling? Because he is higher than anything in the earth. Remember? He said he put all things. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. See? Remember? That's where we started at. In Hebrews 2 and 8. See? Remember that. He put all things in subjection to him. And you are joint heirs with him. So what is that telling you? That whatever comes against the ministry of God, whatever comes against that which God has called you for, is coming against God himself. So God has to fight for you. See? And it's like, listen, you already defeated. Sit down. You can't touch her. I called her. Who are you? Are you so great that you can contend with the Almighty God? I think not. See? Oh, yeah, we in the flesh. Oh, yeah, we going to feel a little buffering. But we got to remember that the enemy is already defeated. See? And we got to walk boldly, and we got to walk strong, and we got to walk true on the word of God. See? Because as he says, we are more than just conquerors. See? We are more. And we have to remember that. Never forget who you are in Christ Jesus. Never forget your place in him. See? Because for surely the enemy does not forget his place. See? That's why he's such a wayward adversary. See? The Bible says hell enlarges itself daily. See? Because he's always about his business. He's always trying to deceive somebody that there's not a God or that Christ is not the way. See? Or that it's just not worth it. Or you just ought to give up because this is too hard. See? Or that you're just not good enough. Or that no one's going to listen to you when God is sending you the evidence every day. Lives are being changed. Hearts are being touched. Minds are turning back to the Father. See? Reminding them of who they are and their place in God. Why are you here? That's why he called you. Never forget. Never forget the sacrifices that was made for you to be where you are. Never forget the purpose and the mission that God has entrusted you with. Never lose the passion for the souls that God has called you to. Yeah, it don't feel good always, and it's not going to, but God promised that he will never leave nor forsake you. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. See? See? Remember, you were bought at a price to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. See? Don't forget to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is just your reasonable sacrifice. See, because Christ already offered up his body on the cross, beaten, bruised, died. Persecuted. See? Put to shame. See? Ridiculed. Oh, you say you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, why don't you bring yourself down off that cross? Knowing that you will have all power to do that. See? I'm going to show them. You know, we get that attitude. You know, when people say, oh, well, since you're such a great price and you're a great preacher, why don't you, since you got healing power, since you say God with you, why don't, no, it's not by signs and wonders. It's about obedience to the Father. See? He didn't yield to the temptations of the enemy. See, that was brought by the enemy through those folks. See, he's always going to do to you to make you feel less than, to make you feel worthless. But God has called you greater, and that's all you need to know. That's all you need to remember, that he has called you greater. Because remember, Hebrews 2 and 8, he put all things in subjection under his feet. And he left nothing, nothing that was not put under him. And even though we don't see it, it still remains so. Amen? Amen. I hope this word has blessed you today. I hope that it has rejuvenated your spirit. You know, that if you thought things were too hard and things were too rough and it was just too much, that it rejuvenated you just to go on a little while longer, knowing that God is always with you, that he will never leave nor forsake you, not allowing the enemy to continually speak to your mind to tell you what you can't do, what you don't be, who don't care, who does care, and what's going to happen. Because the fact of the matter is this. He's only going to tell you things that are going to be. Remember, he's going to tell you the opposite of what God said. He's going to tell you the opposite of what God said. He's never going to tell you the truth. Remember, he's a liar and a deceiver too, and the father of the lie. So if he tells you you're not going to be successful, you better bank on you're going to be successful. See? If he tells you it's not going to work, you better bank on that it's going to work, because that is what the Father has said concerning you. Amen? Amen. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio, If My People. I do hope that this word has blessed you, rejuvenated you, that you can run on a little while longer. We're going to get up out of here with Fred Hammond. All things are working for me. Blessings on you, and have a God-blessed, God-filled, Jesus-filled week.
Make your plans for life and death.